everybody. Welcome to the Horsemanship Remarks Show, number 170. 170. That's a lot of weeks, you guys. I think we're here, we're live, we're going, I'm right side up. I try not to be annoyed with the technology here. All right, everybody come back to visit with me this morning. Let's see. Are you guys finding me? Where's Michael? Here, I can see that I'm live. Okay, so let me just tell you real quick what I have on my mind. I am excited to tell you about Rosie, who moved in with me. And I figured out the marshmallow thing. And I have a cool deal with Mowgli that I discovered. And Marcy, good morning. Wendy. So Wendy, can you type out what you discovered with the new bridling technique? I have some new videos out for you guys. Anybody that is in the old platform of Horsemanship Insider, you've missed the Hope videos so far. You have missed Rosie so far. And you have missed I just did the bridling demo. And yesterday, what did I publish yesterday? The marshmallow in the plastic bag. So they've all been there the whole time, but you just didn't get the alerts. And I wish Michael was here because I don't know what the deal is with the dog, but she's... Go lay down. Lay down. You're a border collie. Understand what I'm saying. Go lay down. Good girl. Here you are. Michael. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
I need to read the comments. Because I really, really, really want to hear what Wendy has to say about the Wendy and Morgan. Good morning, Morgan. Tell me what you have discovered on the new bridling technique. So I'm really excited to hear that, and also excited to hear what else is on you guys' mind. Susan, good morning. I'm so glad that you went out and tried the plastic bag thing. Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting? And like I said on that video, I didn't know to check that before either. So, Michael, did you happen to watch that one? I know you've watched a bunch of videos, but did you watch that one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I watched the bridling one, but I watched the marshmallow bag.
Good, because the bridling one doesn't apply to you.
I'm interested to watch it though, because a lot of people have small hands.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was the perfect.
And go ahead. I have sort of a modified version that I show people anyway.
Oh, that's true.
That seems to help.
You should do a little video for us. All right. Well, you watch the Rosie videos. You guys,
I didn't catch, I don't know how many there were, but I didn't get all the way to the bitter end.
It wasn't a bitter end, it was a sweet end.
To the sweet end. It's a phrase, you know. I don't remember. I got to like 6 or 7. I don't remember how many there were.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably 7 little clips.
So, mm-hmm.
You got the gist.
Got the gist.
So let's tell the people that haven't watched the video. I went over to lend a hand with that Rosie horse, and you guys can see the video on the Northwood Farms YouTube page, like the clip together gist of it. Horse pretty lost, kind of, but I'm really interested to hear what you have to say, Michael, because no, she hasn't been especially, and then side note, you guys, she did move in with me after the show last week.
Oh my God.
But not forever.
All the same. it's interesting. Is lost, but forward.
Ooh, that's a good way to say it.
I think the forward.
The forward. I'm going to listen.
Okay, go ahead.
Come on.
Oh. Lost but forward in that once she found you, there wasn't, I don't know. She had to know you were the peaceful spot, but there was a lot of momentum and just lightness on her feet to come toward you and flow out the other way. Granted, at first that forward was very kind of inverted, stuck to her friends. So there's a reshaping of the body, but I think it'd be interesting to see you do something similar with a horse that kind of will naturally get stuck, because I think that's where folks run into trouble.
You mean more like a marshmallowy horse?
Yeah.
Less bowy? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Because I think, you know, you can get them flowing out one direction and wanting to hook on, but, you know, willing to go. But when it comes to staying flowy forward enough to redirect and not have that redirection kind of cause them pause, where they're just kind of, or like trying to get, build some life and momentum that when you make that corner and they come in, there's still some energy left to go the other way. Building that life and momentum can cause a disconnect, and then they kind of hang up rather than, you know, they'll step forward and through, but it doesn't carry into drawing in.
And so many factors to that, right?
Because if it's as soft as you demonstrate in the Rosie video, where it's just like, you know, kind of allowing it all to happen, they become less and less movable or movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
maybe still movable, but they're not, you know, just free and forward as much as maybe the next horse might be. I'm thinking of Eva's little horse that we've been working with. Like, sometimes is pretty hooked on and like wants to come in for cuddles, but also is kind of like, you know, we've been doing this cold start, been at it a number of days in a row, had a couple days off, but I'm also, you know, tired, you know, and the kind of horse I think I mentioned last week that was really pretty inclined and is still kind of testing, you know, as Eva is figuring out the feel, testing whether or not he needs to yield, because he had a fair bit of time with her where he was able to intimidate her and get her to back down, and rightly so, because it was not safe. She didn't know how to get through it, but he'll kind of come back to that and go, well, you feel like you're pushing really hard and I don't feel like I'm yielding, so maybe I can really get you to shut up. So, I mean, she's doing great and has got through that a number of times. We had to mention last week, get the rope whirling around like a helicopter and actually make contact with his butt to insist, like, no, you need to go forward, because he couldn't even get in close enough with the flag without getting
kicked. Yeah.
So now she's been able to transition to the flag. But so when it's a little bit in that vein of it might take a bit to convince him, no, I do need you to go forward right now. Forward is your answer, not kind of kick out at me or even back up to me and try to kick me. Like, just that doesn't work. So then you get him forward, but he's just a super duper chill, confident sort of horse. He goes, okay, I'm forward, but now I'm not really got the forward that says, okay, when you hook me on and go to draw me back, it's like, okay, I'll hook on, but I just kind of come to a
slump down. Yeah. You
know, become the bowling ball in the dirt, you know, just roll on this. Stop pretty quick. And yet there's other times, you know, and then she might go up and pet him and then she'll walk off and he'll just kind of stick with her. I mean, there's a connection there. He really likes her. But enough forward for him to draw in and then redirect is kind of a tall order over against Rosie, who had that kind of I'm flowing forward. Like she was going to kind of wiggle around the pen and flow around whether you were there or not because her buddies were there. She was just going to stand there and look for her buddies. She was going to like be kind of pacing around. So anyway, but I mean the feel for, because it's not something, I mean, we're pretty familiar with it because it's not too dissimilar in terms of the drawing in and redirecting and sending out kind of a teardrop almost sort of feel to change direction as opposed to hindquarters, forequarters, where the forequarters is reaching back. I mean, that's kind of where the emphasis lies with, you know, the majority of the program. So it's not, like you think the figure eight around the barrels, it's pretty similar to that feel, but with a lot more detail to it. I guess when I'm helping folks in the wrong corral, like helping to feel out when you might just slightly step ahead of the balance point and draw them in to catch their eye, or waiting for their eye and then just kind of drawing in there, or influencing the eye by drifting around toward the hind end and waiting for that hind end to step under. And there's so many ways to kind of shape that. And unless you're focusing on shaping the horse in the round corral, that doesn't.
It's so true.
It's a skill some people don't have if that's not something that's been described to them, which Buck doesn't really, he does it, you know, watch him start a colt and it's all over in there. It's exactly what he's doing. And you certainly do it when you're kind of getting a horse going in the round corral, you're flipping the rope over, you're kind of making serpentines or kind of tear drops to change direction coming through the middle of the pen, throwing the rope over, and it has that same flowing forward feel. Ideally you pick up the rope in the new direction and it just puts that arc under there, the hindquarters flow under, and you're off on your new arc. So there's elements where it is, you know, demonstrated but not described in the detail that you're describing it with Rosie. So yeah. I think that will be very helpful.
Yeah. You guys can tell because I'm mentioning it like every time I produce a video for you guys. It's the Gary's Corner in there, mm-hmm. that is the detail I haven't been able to apply to a bunch of new horses. Like, so now I'm getting to apply it to like so many new horses, but it's the coming straight, mm-hmm. that is so crucial to turning them loose over their top line. You get everything set up for them to push off with the hindquarters and to allow the straightness out of that is so huge. So I have a little reel that I'll be posting from Gary that you guys haven't seen the longer video yet. It's with a little blue roan. It'd be kind of interesting. So that'll be Friday, tomorrow. We'll post that and everybody will get to see it because it'll be a public reel. So it's with a horse that's just brand new. Like, this is during the halter breaking from the saddle. And you'll get to see it begin to shape up. But, Michael, to me, so this is where, like, a figure eight around the barrels, let's say, is actually very different, because your set, the straight part is away instead of toward.
Yeah. It's more the idea of when I reference that is changing direction with a forward teardrop feel rather than
even if
there's a straightness.
Yep.
As opposed to stepping in, moving the hindquarters, bringing the front end through in a four quarter yield.
That's except where it's very hard. It is very hard to influence a horse to be straight when they're going away. You can, of course, you absolutely can. But like, for instance, if they're on the end of the lead rope and you're doing a figure eight around barrels, imagine you guys, you are facing the barrels and your horse is in front of you and you have them come around the barrel to the right. So the barrel on the right to the right, then they're going to go between the barrels, go around the left-handed barrel, same on the other side, right? But so that would need either the straightness is on an angle from the arc, which is kind of what we see in the teardrop, right? That's absolutely what you're talking about. And looking for that straightness, obviously understanding the value of that straightness is certainly valuable to notice. But how do you, I don't know how you would really help the horse find the straightness if they're going away. I mean, you could, much easier horseback. But in the end, if you're standing still and you have a barrel on each side and you're sending the horse out and around and out and around and out and around, you don't, there's no coming straight on forward. Mm-hmm. And you guys can see in the, I think I'm so lost a little bit as to what I haven't produced for you guys. There's so much. Oh my Lord. Drawing on the horse forward to be like, come loose over your top line. Of course, I didn't have a rope on Rosie, using the interest, her mind to make a straight line. But then, and when I have done things with her at home, first of all, to get her comfortable with flag, get her comfortable with the last rope around her legs, get her, you know, then I saddled her actually and finding the places where she is uncomfortable. But the other thing about creating a real straightness out of a curve like that, when I've started colts with you guys, I'm a few, you know, so I wish I could go back and do it again, just with a few other things in mind. Of course, leading them by is maybe the other place that you could sort of help them, but you still are heading to a change of, like a hindquarter yield, right? Versus if you're drawing them towards you on a Gary's corner, they're finishing straight. And hopefully all 4 feet being loose, right? So I mean, when I'm riding, or better yet, when I'm doing the groundwork, either loose or on a line, on a lead rope, I'm thinking of how much that means to me when I'm riding. All right, because if it's a horse that's a little bit fractious, then I want them to come out flat-footed out of the turn, right? But freed up with the marshmallow, I want to him to come out a little bit less like a bowling ball. I love that. But also freed up. You guys follow me? Do you understand what I'm saying? Michael, yes?
Yeah.
No?
Yeah.
And
that's, I guess, where I mention Eva's horse or one like the marshmallow. If it takes, at times, like just thinking in terms of this session, they might be really turned loose. The next one, they're pretty tired, or you know, whatever. They just start out more disconnected because they are a little bit more gate sour that day. Someone came in the door and distracted them. You know, at first he was just beside himself, lost, because, you know, for all intents and purposes, Eva was in his way, from his mind, in his mind. So there's little little shadows of that occasionally, where the door will open or a horse will whinny, and then he, you know, goes over here. Well, then you lose all of your draw for a moment. And so getting that feeling of stepping under and just flowing forward over his top line, well, you have to get the draw back, the connection back with some forward, or you're never going to get that. And if the forward isn't there, it's hard for it to come over the top line. So even if you're getting it at times, or it's going to be come and go with some of these horses that are less less enthusiastic in their movement, less, you know, like, you know, like Rooster is really free with his feet and is just like, oh. And I felt with I have a horse named Finn who just, he will laser in dead straight when he is forward, and then be pretty easy to redirect because he's just like, he's moving and he has no problem going around me and hooking on either direction when he's moving. But he's also very he's inconsistent about flowing forward on the circle because he tends to travel head up, hop. So you know, to get that to a horse named Finn.
Oh, Finn. Oh, right, yeah. Right. Okay.
Not little Finn, different Finn.
Oh, okay. Cute name.
Two Finns right now.
So did you have anything else on that?
No, I just, the flowing forward is an important component that would be interesting to, you know, to see how you describe that or affect that with a horse more like the Marshmallow.
Okay, but you watch the bag, right? The plastic bag. You guys, should I put that under Skill Builders? I feel like I should move that from Backstage Pass to Skill Builders.
Should be a way to cross-reference.
Okay, but I have to house it somewhere.
Sure.
You guys weigh in. And if you want to join Horsemanship Insider, go to horsemanshipinsider.com. Look right now under the Marshmallow and Backstage Pass. But I might move the bag to Skill Builders. I feel like it maybe should go there. Anyway, because the reason I'm mentioning that is because right away with a horse that's more like the Marshmallow, more like a bowling ball, more like blue, good luck getting it loose.
Yeah.
I mean, you could, especially I suppose in a round pen, you'd have more luck like creating momentum and then drawing it. But especially if you're going to have to chouse, which is what you're going to have to do until they're free over their top line, then doing it on the rope, on the lead rope, is the thing. And it will be very interesting to see what the final result is with the Marshmallow at the end of another couple weeks, because that is the tell. And you saw with the bag, it's like that is absolutely the sticky spot, 100%. Because when he was scared, so just real quick. So with the Marshmallow, I got the target bag out. Now that I have enough things going on, I need to just challenge his confidence, his sureness, test, however we want to say it, hit the sureness with things that might concern him. So the bag was definitely, I mean, it would have been impossible to help him
if I had started with the plastic bag, right? But we had enough things going on. So
why is that? Describe why that is, because you can't really reach to get behind the balance point, reach to pet him when he's further away if your plastic bag is only at the end of your arm.
Couldn't
he's gonna be scooting
away. Help him with the curve, couldn't yield the hind quarter, like couldn't turn him loose on the inside. That's the biggest thing. Couldn't do anything if the horse escapes away from you. You're toast, right? So is that a good
exactly. I just thought that was worth mentioning why.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so carry on.
So him being concerned, this is the bag, the Target bag, which I kind of like because it's bigger than a Little Alert bag, but it's not quite as
too.
Oh yeah, it makes, I could cut the bottom, but what I figured yesterday was if you hold the bottom of the sack, then it doesn't make as quite as much of a sound like a gunshot. If you hold the handle of the sack, of course, then. But it's not quite as big, obviously, as a chunk of tarp, which would be, I think, easier for the horse to handle, number one. And number two is a bit more unwieldy. And number three, I would have gotten myself significantly dirtier with dragging that dust over my head on the changes of direction. And also number four, you really kind of have to change direction with the tarp coming on the ground. Much harder to come up and over with a bigger chunk of tarp, even if it was only, I don't know, 3x3 or something. But I like the Target bag because it's not small. So anyway, my point is he was concerned in two major areas with the bag. Well, three. And they're the same. They're the same as with the flag. They're the same as with the coils. They're the same as with the last rope. They're the same as with those three would be the big thing. Like they're the same areas. It's not a different place because it's the bag. So right above the saddle, right in front of the saddle, and then and of course right in front of him. But Michael, you see that. The big difference where we're at right now, or where you guys saw on that video, which was just like 2 days ago, when he was concerned with the bag in front of the saddle horn, he was still going forward. Right?
Where?
And
it wasn't when you were addressing that with the flag earlier.
Or when I switched to him making a Gary's corner and coming straight onto me where I had the flag in front of me and above, that's where he was like, I'm not coming forward.
Not a chance. Yeah.
Right. And if I hadn't, that's another thing with the bag, as you exactly say, you can't really get behind the balance point very well, certainly not safely. But yeah. If I had done the bag a few weeks ago, even at the saddle, anything you guys saw, anything in between me and him was causing him to try to, it was to leap around and pull away. So it is a big deal that the stimulus or the concerning thing could go from right above the saddle, helping him continuing on forward, to right in front of the saddle, continuing on forward. And you guys who see the video can tell, you know, that you start, let's say, with them above the saddle and let it get over his butt and, you know, disappear, and then in front of the saddle and same thing. And then when you're making a Gary's corner and having the horse come straight on, if you're shaking the bag, then they're going to come straight on forward, pass by you, and you can continue. They'll just go right on underneath the bag and it falls off the back. But you could see as soon as it was behind the saddle, it didn't bother him at all. Around his hips, behind him, like nothing. But you can also see, and this is where I'm just talking about the horse coming free over his top line, because while he is on a curve and I'm, let's say, on the left side, that's one thing, because you really can help them to turn loose laterally. And of course, then coming forward and around, or I'll do it this way, turn loose laterally and then go forward and around. This, you got to build that in, right? But the last thing is coming forward straight on a Gary's corner. And I don't mean it's the very last thing you do after everything's perfect. I just mean once that checks out, it will all check out. That's what I mean. Yeah. And you can look, see more videos on that and the skill builders. But
what are the other Gary's Corner videos you have? You have the one of, I can't remember.
Jillian.
I want to say Jillian. There you go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the one where you can see it flash. You can see it. I did, I think I demonstrated it with Zorro, so you could kind of see what it looks like when it's really, really working.
Remember that.
You can see a bunch of different examples. What was that?
I don't remember that one as much. I have to look at that one.
Yeah, that one's under Tiny Challenges, I think, leading up Tiny Challenge. Mm-hmm. So it's, I guess, the cool thing. This is the cool thing with these horses that are, you know, have different things that they have had challenges with. A rearing horse, a bucking horse, a scared, fractious horse that I don't know, right? And then getting right to these horses and being like, okay, let's see how these things all add up and how it all sifts down into a balanced horse. And the Gary's Corner and coming forward straight with Rosie, who is fractious and was fractious and happy to move her feet. Or like you think of getting a wild horse, dumping it off in the round pen. I wish I could do another one this year. I cannot. My books are full. But it's really on my list for next year, because what a cool, like, I draw on that from Feather from last year so much. But you just have so much movement at the surface. And so then being able to get in flow with that, exactly as you were saying, is such a different ball of wax than ending up like with a bowling ball plotted in the sand and being like, now what do I do?
Yeah.
Totally different.
Being in flow with movement that's already happening, as opposed to having to say, let's move forward, so you can have some momentum, if you will, to hook on. Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in answer to Lisa's question, I don't know for sure, Lisa, whether Rosie or not is going to, what she's going to do. For now, she's with me just basically week by week, that whatever I can do with her. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Fascinating. So, so interesting. Oh, yeah. Corey says, the magic of the Gary's Corner really stood out to me in your marshmallow videos and has been so helpful to practice. Yeah, awesome. Corey, I mean, right? Like, without it, I would not be able to check the marshmallow out completely and be like, solid, yes, we have it. I want to talk to you guys about, Michael, if you want to hear about it, I want to talk about my final assessment now with the marshmallow. I feel like I have a handle on the whole thing. Not, instead of wondering, but Lisa hasn't watched the bag video with the marshmallow. Yeah, it's not too long, Lisa, like 10 minutes or so.
Corey's comment, and I'm not sure what all marshmallow videos were there, just kind of the rearing, not coming forward, or not going forward or around even. And then in the bag one, they're more than that. I don't know, regardless, what Corey was referencing, or how many, you know, which videos you have. To what degree is questioning the need to lead up the problem there, that if you get them believing that leading up really is going to happen inevitably, thinking leading up with a saddle horse, that will kind of not take care of it itself, because you still have to have them coming forward into gunfire, but it won't be the resist, 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 and then come forward, or the rear, you know, come up here before I go forward. You know what I mean?
Meaning, when do you focus on it, or?
No, I'm saying if you have the ability or the luxury, if you will, of, I'm just thinking of numerous horses recently that were kind of sticky on the end of the lead rope, and therefore you just didn't have a Gary's Corner, you know, because there wasn't the come forward feel.
Lead up, god damn it.
Exactly. you know, you could maybe, you know, get them hooking on in the round corral and they just flow forward there, but the coming into gunfire, or even no gunfire at all, just drawing on the lead rope, their initial response is to come up and back. So you just don't have that flow forward, which is a little bit what you have with the marshmallow.
Oh, it's 100%.
Even without the gunfire. And then you put the gunfire there, and he's like, drag, 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 drag. And then when he does come forward, it's certainly not a real free forward, or it doesn't, like...
It's freer. Yeah.
Right? There's still work to be done. But I'm thinking of the octopus. I forgot his name. Why do I forget horse's name so easily?
Von Dutch.
Von Dutch, yes. So... I mean, every time he felt that lead rope, it was up. You can tie him. He wouldn't pull back. He'd been tied for years. But there's I feel for the end of that halter. I lean on it, drag for a bit, and then come forward. And once, I don't remember. I don't think I ponied him that much. But the cumulative effect of ponying him a few times where he didn't sit back, but where he's just like drag, 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 and it just didn't help him out. Didn't go away until he came forward. That, and just not letting him drag when you're leading him. If he's not leading up, trotting off, using your flag if you need to help him come up the rope.
100%.
Like, then you could actually put gunfire in there. And have,
well, you can't even do it without,
exactly,
you know, part of it. But
so I guess what I'm saying is, if, I don't know, yeah, it's a stupid comment. If you can pony them and get them like get through that, that's really gonna help it all.
Yeah,
flow together.
You gotta be careful when you say pony them, because people. That doesn't necessarily mean lead up with quality.
Yeah. And it's not hold your lead rope out here and let them drag behind you with your arm extended, and
or
eventually they come
facing you a little bit and sideways, or
just going down the trail with them tied to the back of the saddle.
So what was just gonna add with the marshmallow is coming forward into the sound of gunfire is going to help the leading up. But you do have to have a start on, and that's why it's a corner. That's why it's the Gary's Corner, right? Because of, and he does it, I was editing this video for you guys last night, and I wish I could take a shop vac and suck out his scale for myself, because he's light years. His execution is, Margie, good morning. His his execution is light years ahead of what I can do. And I'm almost not dissatisfied, Michael, right now, because it's so working and it's so valuable. And like, as bad as I do it, compared to him, you know, it's awesome. But as I get better, I'll point out more details to you guys too, so you can get better along with me, because the setup, and you'll see as you watch Marshmallow videos, what are there right now, Michael, is the initial day with the marshmallow. And then Corey is referring, because she filmed 3 full days with him that you guys haven't seen.
Got it.
But you see the leading up in all of it. He was much more fractious, obviously, on the first day. But anyway, the setup to the coming forward into the sound of gunfire is what you're always chipping away at, even in the beginning, because you all the things we know to do to get a horse freed up on the end of the lead rope, and then adding in the corner at the beginning to the best of your ability. And then as the better you get it, the more freed up your horse is going to be over their top line. To be fair to you guys, on the Rosie video, when I pointed that out, that it was the first time she had come free over her top line, as I watched that back, it's hard to see. I think. Like, it's not, some things are super obvious when I watch them back on camera. And that one wasn't very obvious, but it was very obvious when I was standing in front of her.
It's funny that you say that, because that one was more obvious to me. So it's a matter of what your eyes are attuned to seeing or trained to see. There are other things that, you know, you're like, you know, saying yes or there or whatever without really saying what, which is hard to do in the moment, but would be convenient if you could, that are less obvious to me. But the one in the Rosie video, to me, it is like I saw it right off.
Good.
So, anyway, but understandable if you're not. It was subtle. If you're not used to seeing what that looks like, it wasn't hugely obvious because it had kind of happened gradually prior to that. Like, she'd relaxed, turned loose a little bit. It just wasn't flowing forward. She'd gone from high-headed counter bent to hooking on to relaxing a little bit, but it didn't have the forward, soft, and through.
And the I believe the technicality of what's happening is the horse is then pushing themselves forward from the hind legs. Mm-hmm. And as you become more aware of that and attuned to that, as Michael is saying, you know, then your impression as the horse comes forward to you is when they are motoring themselves forward with their hind feet, which only works if the withers are open and they're free over their top line. Otherwise, there's a roadblock. But then you get this impression that the hind legs go first, which we've heard that a million times, and it's pretty obvious if the horse is at a standstill and they leave with their hind legs first. But in the end, I think your eye starts to get attuned to, like, let's say you're at a walk, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. And then all of a sudden, maybe out of a corner, I mean, really, the Gary's corner, you guys go back and study the Jillian and the Flash videos, and you will see it's the hind legs first. But like with Rosie, loose in the round pen, you have to somehow take stock of a starting point and an ending point, as even as the horse is in motion. Like, let's say she made a whole lap, and then at a certain point, you're like, okay, well, when did she start pushing herself forward towards me with the...
Or even forward.
Period.
Forward.
Yeah.
You know, forward. To where it flowed and loosened, So she could make that corner and come in. And that's where the bowling ball horse that is only forward because you're kind of still encouraging them forward or saying, we are going forward now.
Yeah.
Forward and around, you know, on the round corral around or, you know, around on the circle, around it all marching forward, putting in effort. It takes more reminders, and it's kind of interesting when someone's working on feeling for that timing, how easy that is to feel like a nag or to be a nag. Like it's like little bit more release, little bit more release, little bit more release. And if the emphasis is on the release and you're really getting change, it's going to, they're going to go, okay, we just walk out. And fairly early on, even with a horse that's not especially motivated, if your timing's good, I mean, we've seen Buck do it plenty of times. And there's a few horses I'm thinking of that, well, I just nailed it early on, but it took reminders because of the way they'd traveled. You know, it was very inverted and very, you know, not flowing forward. You know, it would get good, but there would be, and then we'd go out on the trail, and it's like, okay, here we go. You know, just kind of poking along, which isn't always the case on the trail, but it's like, no, you got to be flowing forward so the hindquarters are moving. So anyway, to get that happening, you know, might take, you know, being in there quite a bit, but it's still being in there and releasing. Whereas so easy to go, stay alive, and just have your end up very quickly to be pedaling them along. And it's a really, it's a tough one to figure out. So I don't think Eva's watching the show. Someday she'll listen back on Spotify, but huge props to her on her little, she has a 2-year-old quarter horse, is just super cute. And like the first couple rides, she was nailing that. I mean, she had him walk in. He is not, well, I shouldn't say the first couple rides. First couple rides, I was flagging her because he was probably going to fuss about her legs because everything asking him to go forward, he had learned to push back. So the first couple rides, I was just kind of letting her be a passenger a little bit. But first ride she did on her own without me supporting her, he truly was little try, she'd release, little try, she'd release, to where even a horse that was not super inclined to just motor along, she had a really nice walk going, and then just back off and let it flow for a bit and let him stop and start again. So that was pretty cool to see.
It works.
It does work. Not easy. It's simple, yeah. But not easy. Isn't that what everyone says?
And what do you suppose makes it not easy, Michael?
It's the time.
I think about this a lot. Obviously, I'm riding the marshmallow, so I think about this a lot. What is it that makes it not easy? With the answers, some of the answers could be because it's boring, because it requires a lot of patience, because your timing has to be good, because you have to be in control of your body so that it does what you want in the right time.
That's a good one.
Yeah. So maybe because you can't feel the slightest change, you know, any number of.
I would say, I mean, yes, absolutely all of those, but technically it's feeling the change and releasing on time, but also coming back in before it's completely dead too. So the timing of release, coming back in, not letting it die, but also like letting it
float for sure. Yeah.
To me, it's feeling it and timing, but you know, everything else you said as well, you know, it takes a heck of a lot of focus. You know, maybe not that fun for some people because it, you know, I don't know. It takes wanting to do it.
Oh yeah. And you, once again, I come back to the fact that it's not especially fun if you don't know for sure it's going to work. And, you know, then it's a little bit like doing your chores, a tiny bit. You know, if you want to be canning around like we all do and doing all sorts of things like we all do, then, you know, when you're laying the bricks of like flow forward.
It's, I'd say, probably the biggest place where I see it not being fun is when you're really trying to do it and have it for a while and you're not, like, it's not coming through for you, and you know, because you've seen Buck do it, you've seen people able to do it, maybe even on your horse.
It makes it worse.
It's not super fun to be like, why am I not getting this? Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, like you say, it's so tempting sometimes in a clinic to take someone's horse and just fix it up.
Makes it worse.
And sometimes that makes it worse or harder on the person, because then they're like, why am I not getting it? And yet, sometimes that's kind of what's necessary for the person and the horse, because they're not going to get through it and they need a little bit of a leg up.
Well, sometimes they just don't believe it's them. That is part of it. Like, yeah. That is a huge part of the value. Or the other thing, of course,
or a green horse. It's like the green horse needs a little bit more confidence, or, you know, if it's not convincing, you know, it depends on the green horse. You know, if they're going to push back and, you know, start resisting, well, then you kind of got to get through it. Otherwise, you're just worse. So.
If it's nowhere on the menu, sometimes it's handy to have it be there. So Corey says, yes, and it did make me aware of the quality of how well my horse leads up, Michael, which needs work. Great point. Oh, yeah. The leading up behind, like the leading up on a Gary's corner and the horse being willing to trot up behind you if you walk out more, those have to be there. Otherwise, the horse is not safe to ride to varying degrees. That's it. That's the end of the story. We're done.
All right. See you next week.
Or never. That's it. We can retire. Julio says, last week, Michael's boot camp client said, this stuff you teach, it works. Imagine that.
That was pretty funny to hear. Like, just the way she said it was
a surprise.
It was just comical.
Wow.
It was like, A, of course it does. And B, if it doesn't, yeah, I don't know.
If it cute.
It's, doesn't, it's like, good. What am I doing, right?
Why? Hope. That's what they're doing. They're living on hope.
Yeah.
So, do you want to hear my marshmallow assessment?
Yeah.
And then I would love to hear your feedback on that video, because it's been kind of interesting. I've sent it to a few people. Just a
wait,
little writing
wait,
clip.
Oh, the one
a little sent. Writing clip, yeah. Yeah.
I was watching that somewhat distracted, but I have a thoughts.
Okay, well, do you want to go ahead first?
No, give me your assessment.
So here's my assessment, which... if you guys have been watching the show, you will know this has taken me. I think he came to me before I went to your house. So this was the first time I saw him and did the first day with him was in February. So now we're in April. So this is 2 months later. I have a total of like 21 hours on him and not 8 rides or something like that. Okay. So this is how far in we are to trying to figure this out. But the 2 months of angst, like, what happened? What is going on? You know, the machinations of my mind. Let's just not forget, you guys can all make fun of me later when I'm like, I don't know what your problem is. Yeah. Okay. Here's the thing. Because... because he's apt to be a bowling ball and be dull. Like, that certainly could be his nature. Over time, and certainly getting passed between people, that was accentuated more and more. That's just the bottom line. And then I think where it got to poor Kara, who ends up with this horse, that is very good natured, actually, and isn't apt to complain very loudly. He was so shut down that even when, what happens is the horse then, because they're not freed up, then they get farther and farther into their shell, and actually things that didn't scare them before start to scare them because they're more of a surprise. So yes, they'll let you saddle them. Yes, they'll let you tie them. Yes, in the Marshmallow's case, you know, you could be at a cow sorting, or you could be at obstacle day, or, you know, whatever. But because there was no groundwork happening, which you would think at first, you probably didn't need any, you know. But as the horse becomes less and less turned loose, less and less freed up, then when you put the saddle on, the horse isn't turned loose and the horse isn't freed up, and yet they get by in a day. And then when something happens to require more effort, for instance, Kara was saying that this would always happen about 90 minutes into the thing. Well, Kara, here's the deal. I bet he could roll along operating-ish for a certain amount of time. But then, let's say 90 minutes in, now he's going to have to switch over into being more athletic, or he literally won't be able to move. And he knows you want him to move down the trail. He knows, you know, you want him to canter up a hill. Whatever it is that he does need to do, or in a situation where, okay, so let's just go back to that athletic thing. At a certain point, the horse does have to switch into being athletic, period. So if they're hiding from the saddle, let's say, or whatever it is, then you can get by, so long as they can stay in their little shell and not get round in the saddle is a huge part of it, right? Then, but not just the saddle, because we know this is why I did the groundwork with him on day one without the saddle, so that we could see what it really was. When the horse is not freed up, at a certain point, they will end up completely standing still or laying down, or they have to get athletic, and then the getting athletic is the problem. Additionally, let's imagine that the horse seems very, very quiet, very, very chill, and yet a huge part of that is that they're a bowling ball just slumped into the sand. Well, then let's say something catches their attention, which has happened. For instance, the sound of actual gunfire, which is how one of the owners got bucked off, because he took him to a Civil War reenactment. I'm sure he wasn't freed up. So then the gunfire goes off and he startles, which is an athletic thing to do. Of course, a horse is going to be like, I got to be ready to like take care of myself, because now this thing actually does concern me. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now in the moment of becoming athletic, we're bucking. And so a horse will buck to just get freed up. Just to get freed up. Not even if they're afraid of the saddle or the plastic bag or the person or the last rope, which he, by the time he got to me, he was concerned about all of those things. But I think that's just a habit of hiding more and more in yourself. But like, let's say the guy who got bucked off because of the sound of gunfire, that's just a matter of a horse being like, oh, now I need to be ready to flee. So I gotta get freed up. And the fastest way to do that is for sure to leap and buck. Okay, so then when Kara was at an obstacle day and he was so good because he wasn't reactive to all the things. So a person can think, okay, this horse is solid. This horse is good. But then when he got distracted by a mini or a pony or whatever it was, so now the horse kind of wants to look at something and is interested in moving around. Well, when you say, hey, pay attention, good luck. And it's not because the horse is trying to be bad. It's like, it is very logical how that adds up to the behaviors that we see in the marshmallow or saw in the marshmallow. Michael, it is the coolest fucking thing in the world. Once again, here's the marshmallow showing me shit that like is blowing my mind. To see him become his old self. So these are all things that I'm like, okay, what is adding up? So that is my assessment of him, is a result of many, many years of becoming less and less freed up. And we know, because we've talked about this a million times, it doesn't matter if the horse is cantering, let's say with a different trainer or something like that, because like he knows that he kind of has to do that. That's not the same as being freed up. It's not. And then we go back to all the discussions that we were just having. But I don't think I got to tell you guys this. Did I tell you the part about him shape-shifting?
No.
This was the coolest thing. I should have said this at the top of the show. Okay. So Michael, he finally comes loose and we're really like, it's like, okay, here we go. And I've been riding him and you know, the one rein stops getting to the base of the neck and everything, you know, we got to add everything up, reminding him that the peace, the good feeling is forward. I also have to mention, side note, you guys, there's no treats involved. There is no treats. There are no treats. I'm going to keep doing it to myself until I fix myself. There are no treats involved in developing this batch of any of the horses I'm doing. But with this batch of horses, it made me think about, because I had Frosty, Debbie turned him out in beautiful green grass. He was out in. And he's out in an acre and a half or whatever. And I went to go catch him yesterday and he sees me and comes marching up to me. And there is no food involved. There is zero food incentive involved. The incentive is a good feeling. Pretty cool. Not, please don't take this as a judgment. I have used treats many times in my life. But this is not occurring now. And it's proving to me that I don't need it. But the marshmallow, Michael, so one day, he was getting more forward, right? And I'd kind of get him forward and then get off of him. Bear in mind, I've had like 8 rides. I think it was, this was the 6th ride. Corey, I paid attention. This was the 6th ride that this shape-shifting. Wendy and Morgan, you need to look up Star Trek on YouTube. Have your mom help you find one of the ones where the creature completely morphs into something else. Because yes, we have Transformers, et cetera, but this is way cooler. So this is the Star Trek thing, whereby he completely transformed into his, Michael, I could almost physically see it. And I think I even made a note for the YouTube channel videos that we'll edit together. During the groundwork, I was like, I think he looks like, he almost looks like a different horse, which it's not the same as when a horse has this expression and then they do this and their eyes get big and their nose get what, like they of course look like a different horse in that situation. It wasn't that obvious and yet the whole horse was different. Okay, so listen to this. So then I'm riding and I kind of get him forward on a loose rein, trot, really trotting forward on a loose rein, freed up, because he would canter rather than trot. I do want him to canter. You saw quite nice canters. I like that. But the first few rides, he would have cantered along and not been free forward to trot along. Anyway, so he was on to it this ride. I got on him right away. He was on to, hey, let's, you know, roll forward. And then I stopped. I was like, great job. And I stopped and he teetered back on a loose rein, on his own, nothing we had done this go around. It was the coolest thing to feel it float up from the bottom of the pond or whatever you want to call it. Like, and I was like, that's so cool, because it wasn't like, oh, let's put the teeter back in and you get better and better at it because you did it before. No. It was the context of everything and coming back into his own self. And I just mean teeter, you guys. That just means is when you stop, then starting to roll backwards, essentially. My coolest thing this year, almost, or like one of the top few things, because it's yet another example of the horse being an intelligent entity, having a whole set of experiences and data in their head. And of course, you can, it's not like anything ever disappears. Like, I get that, but this was obviously my first experience reconnecting with a horse that all that stuff seemed buried versus Nigel. It was just right at the top, you know. But these things would like seemed buried, like he was sticky. So, how cool is that, you guys? Oh my lord, that was awesome, so awesome. And of course, I'm like, oh my god, Marshmallow, that's amazing, you know, which he noticed. His ears start going, it's pretty cute. So would you tell me what you saw, because it's been interesting to hear. I think I've sent it to 5 people.
Well, I just, it was Jax that, I think it was Wendy and I were like, wow, there is a difference. And it was one day to the next, and the one day just looked horrible, and the next day was different, totally free. And I still don't quite know why or how. But this was like within the deal of 2 minutes or whatever it was.
2 minutes, yep.
Yeah. So the canter transitions started with kind of a tossing the head. He made it there. It was, I think, even a walk canter, but it was just kind of this, he had to heft himself into it, and it wasn't it just didn't flow. But within 2 minutes, the canter transitions with a little bit of softening here and there, and it wasn't like it just was different magically, but change to canter transition a couple minutes later was just like everything was browned and flowing and over the top, and soft feel look effortless, which if you just showed the first canter transition, like within the first 3-4 seconds of the video, you go like, wow, that horse has got a ways to go, or is, you know, moving pretty inverted, or, you know, that was a very nice transition. So I don't know if that was probably not another example of it bubbling up from the pond, but probably, you know, the bottom of the pond, but it certainly was, this is the way I would move without someone supporting me to move differently because I've been habituated that way, but quickly being able to go, okay, you know, yes, this is how I'm going to move because it's on the menu, because you're encouraging it, helping it along the way. So.
I wish I had the first ride, of course.
What did others you showed it to?
Pretty much the same. It's been interesting because, of course, to me, I'm like, oh my God, look how I'm, all of it, even the sort of the Canada part with the head in the air and the, like, all of it is amazing to me. Amazing to me. And because it's so different than what it started with, you know? And again, no treats, no whacking him with a McCarty or a whip or anything like that. Like this, I have spurs on, but that's not little ones that would basically make zero difference overall without, you know, having it come from his mind. But then, and looking through moments, like you can see, even with your naked eye, without slowing it down, you can see him getting athletic here. And you're right, I did help a little bit, like, and you know what I thought of watching that video back is I was like, oh, okay, I need to not hold him back and think, and I don't mean like slow him down, but I just mean his progress. I don't need to slow his progress down because I have in my head, it's going to take this many days to get him forward. And then we're going to put it into a soft feel. And then why would I even let it go like that? So long as he for sure understands the pieces forward, the message is for sure getting to the hind leg, which the Gary's corner is, make sure that that is truly coming forward from the hind leg before I get on, right? So if he understands that, then why wouldn't I just be like, well, just like every other horse I do, we don't go like this. Just don't. And especially because I'm watching on the ground, you don't do it like that on the ground. You follow me? Like, so not waste too many days. Now, that doesn't mean we start without making sure that he's freely forward. That's a little bit the dance, right? But that's what I thought of when I watched that. I was like, oh my gosh, okay, he's way more capable of coming together much more quickly. Mm-hmm. And the left-handed arc, Michael, was really bad. I mean, that was two things when I first started riding him. Roadblocks on both sides of the base of the neck in his one rein stops, and then the left-handed arc was just not very good at all. And so both of those things, of course, are going to be, have to be fixed in order for the horse to really be able to flow forward doing all kinds of things. But once again, if you didn't have the Gary's corner in there, then you wouldn't even be able to make an arc and go straight on all 4 feet pushing from behind. But my favorite part of that video, my favorite technical part was when he backed at the very end, when he finished that little backing arc to the left. It felt great, but to see it on saddle and video, I was like, yes. Once again, shit, he's dragging up from the bottom of the pond. Because we have not had enough practice at any of that. Not quite the same as the teeter, which wasn't even close to on the menu. But we have a few comments here. Lisa says, super cool about the marshmallow. It's like you did something that allowed memories to bubble to the surface, or muscle memory. Yeah, okay, good point, Lisa, because this was probably both, but it was like the intelligent memory that was like, cool, you know, because, and it also proves he's offering something. Katie, Star Trek, I'm on it. So amazing how little time you've had with Marshmallow to have him change so quickly. I'm thinking back to you talking about burying bad experiences and how many good experiences it takes. Yes. Oh my gosh, Katie. I was thinking that too. And I'm so, so excited. Oh my Lord. I feel way, way more confident that the Marshmallow is going to go out into the world and do just fine. The things that I talked about last week towards the end of the show, if you missed it, go to show number 169 and watch the last 5-7 minutes of it. And you'll hear all of that. But if a person likes him and knows how to get him freed up on the end of the lead rope, which he will come with, so just maintain it, then oh my gosh, he is going to be good. I do not feel like it's lurking. I do not feel, we're 6 or 8 rides in, so we'll see. But I am more optimistic every single day that, and his price tag is going up, BTW. Every single day. Well, I'm serious, because now if this horse is freed up and forward and lovely, we go from a $2,500 horse back to a $10,000 horse. Now, probably not going to charge up because he's 16, but I'm serious in terms of how much of a pleasure he is. All the good things that are in him naturally, all the miles and experience and things he's been exposed to that make him amazing in the first place. Now, if all we have to do is we get him freed up, help him be a little bit more athletic under saddle than even I could have before, this is a cool horse. This is a really cool gelding. Hello. Sheesh. Lisa says, Marshmallow makes me think of the movies where someone has had special training, like tactical training, that's been wiped from their memory. Oh, yeah. And years later, something happens to bring those memories flooding back to the surface, like suddenly speaking another language or doing martial arts. That's right. This is what I told Debbie at the end of the day yesterday, at the end of the ride yesterday. I said, it feels like in one or two more rides, we're going to be back to where we finished when I sold him 10 years ago. And Gary's like,
yeah, I do that all the time with horses that I started. And I'm like, oh, I know.
It's cool to me. It's cool to me. It's fun. Experience. And I'm so excited that I think he's gonna have an awesome life and make someone else so happy. And like you saw in the plastic bag video, there's things I didn't know how to put in a Gary's corner. I didn't know how to check him out as thoroughly as I do now. There was a lot that I didn't know that I think will help all of it be solid for the next person. And he's really only going to have one more person, so we don't have to worry about him like rolling downhill for the rest of his life. I would hope that he's going to have one more person and then retire. So anyway, comments, you guys, what do you think? Oh man, I guess I'll have to put that little clip on Horsemanship Insider.
Well, I'm thinking how if they're not freed up, they can kind of become the worst version of themselves. Ooh, and if they are freed up, they become the best version of themselves. So either way, you kind of get the true version of themselves. It's just the best or the worst.
I love that. Say it all again, please. That's so perfect. Say it in what moment, you guys. So this is an hour and 35 or so. Somebody write it down, please. Say it again, please, Michael.
If they're not freed up, they can become the worst version of themselves. Once they are freed up, they're the best version of themselves. In either case, they are their true selves. It's just which direction are you gonna, is it gonna go? Because the marshmallow kind of became what the marshmallow really is, but where you're helping the marshmallow be is also who he truly is. It's just becomes the best version, the freed up version, the happy version, the willing version, the comfortable version versus the kind of shut down version. Because the reason I'm thinking it is if Rosie became not freed up because she wasn't helped along and was allowed to become herd bound, and there wasn't a connection and there wasn't intention toward her being forward and through and loose on both sides and all that, she would not become the marshmallow. She would become the Rosie that's kind of fractious.
I love it.
So
It's perfect. It
it's their true selves, but it's, they go in different negative directions.
Well, this is show number 170. I think we got it.
It's been nice doing the show with you.
Seriously.
What are you gonna do now?
Anything else? I mean, we got it. Speaking of Rosie, one of the big things is she wouldn't tie content.
Yeah.
Pretty discontent, actually. Not pulling back, rearing, striking, pawing, sweating, like all the things. Not good to tie to the wall, not good to tie in the trailer, not good to get her feet done. Blah, blah, blah. This makes me think of it, what we were just comments. As she's gotten more freed up, more confident, I'm able to direct her feet more, I'm able to help her, which, by the way, this is a funny deal. Out of all the horses, all the diamond in the rough horses, plus the marshmallow, no, plus the marshmallow, she's the best one. She's not broke. I guess. I mean, Allie has saddled her and ridden her maybe at the walk and sort of walk trot maybe, but I mean, we wouldn't consider her broke. But in terms of her behaviors, and she's the best one. They're all kind of catching up and everything, but so far she's the best one. My point is, for how fractious, how herd bound, how all the things, she's standing with me, content in the round pen while the horses are galloping around. Remy and Davina aren't having sex, like right in front of us, And she's just like, I tied her to the wall, cocked a leg, switching flies. But to your point, right? Because when she's not in the middle, when she's not centered, when she's not her best self, very different than the marshmallow. Yeah, it's perfect. What you said is absolutely perfect. Corey said, "Oh, good morning, Paula. I'm so glad you're on the inside now. By the way, I sent you a message at Horsemanship Insider because I want to make sure you're part of the community wall." So Corey said, "If a horse is not freed up, they can be." Oh, yes, good. She wrote it down. This is what you said. If a horse is not freed up, they can become the worst version of themselves. I would say they become. If the horse is freed up, it can become the best version of themselves. Both of the horse being authentically themselves is just a matter of which way they're directed. Then she goes, except Michael has good grammar and she's not good with dictation. I don't think anybody's
I
very
don't
good
know.
with dictation.
If you listen it back and dictate it, good dictation, it might not have as good a grammar as you think.
I said the other day, I was helping Debbie, and I think I said, I must have raised my left hand at the same time. And I said, good job. That looks awesome to Debbie. And Siri goes, "Thank you. It's so nice to be appreciated." You guys think we like that from the AI? Nope. We do not. We want it's like a child. Seen and not heard. Kidding. Not you, Wendy and Morgan, of course, or any child. So that's very exciting. Is there anything else that we should talk about, you guys? Do you want to hear one other thing?
Sure.
So my books are full for 2024. So I'm already planning 2025, which means we are not going to have 12 horses for Diamond in the Rough. Because now that we know what the scope of the work is and what the hours are, and I know much more, it's not going to be 12 in one year.
Six.
But so it depends on whether I roll the rescue horses into it and the ones that have been here. I'm not 100% sure. We'll still have, plenty of horses, 10, I think, total horses that we're really going hard on. And four would be the original true idea of picking horses sight unseen, developing them, and seeing whether I really did find some diamonds in the rough. I'm picking up so my point is full for the year. That's it. I have my work cut out for me. Including my own horses, Katniss, Novella, Zorro, Bonnie, and the ones that will be for sale this year, Remy, Rook, Noah, that are home, including Rosie. And then today we're picking up the final horse that I think will be in my string for the next couple months. His name is Jarl. He is an Andalusian, a Mexican dancing horse. So I'm getting him through SEO. And I'm dying to check it out, but he's the final one. So Debbie and I are going to go pick him up in a couple hours. I can't be late, so I got to get my chores done right after this, so I might not get to all you guys' comments.
Corey, use your dictation skills and get that on record.
It
Because
is true.
I don't believe it for a minute.
Yeah, you guys will see. It's a matter of collecting data and being able to be like, okay, well, this is what it's honestly gonna take. But I just didn't have quite enough data at first, to see. Oh my gosh! And Michael, little Mowgli. Oh my gosh! Other cool, super cool thing that I learned with Mowgli, because he's really sketchy with things on his right side coming up from the ground, like let's say the flag coming, like beside himself. He is the nicest little pleasure horse. Little Morgan. You guys, clutch horse. This is such a good little horse. So he's like an apartment dog in the sense that he will do really well at a facility that doesn't necessarily have the most extravagant turnout or exercise program, because he's pretty content to just kind of stand around a lot, which like noteworthy. You follow me? So the little dog that's quite happy to use a piddle pad on the 20th floor of the high rise and sleep in the bed all day, he's a little bit like that, which is nice, right? And a gelding, blah blah blah. But I told you I had my fingernail under the lid of his enthusiasm, right? And his joy and his what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah. I'm not hitting up, but I had my fingernail under the lid of it last week, and I'm just click, 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 clicking around the edge of the lid. And the little light starting to shine out. But anyway, I'll show you guys what I have discovered for helping him with that. Because there's lots of things, obviously, that we would do to help a horse that's, but he's pretty, that if I can only do that one thing for him is help him really turn loose to things on the right side, especially coming up from the ground, really on the whole length of it. It's not a blind spot issue, but he's this way. Super owly, everything, and you do the right thing, and he will bolt. But yesterday was huge improvement. Feeling very good about the fact that that is going to be completely gone. But I did learn a little technique. I'll tell you guys about that another time. Anyway, so the sound illusion. He's perfect, I believe. I only said I'd do 2 weeks on him. So if the scope of the work is just too much for fitting into everything, then I'll just do my best for a couple weeks and that'll be that. But I'm dying to check it out because I have not written one that has been trained that way. And he was a starvation case, and it took them a while to get ownership of him. Like, they seized these horses 2 years ago and got ownership and were able to adopt the other horses out really quickly. Because, you know, they have to go through the court case and all that, right? So now he is, he's owned free and clear, but it took him just a little bit to get that. So he is turning 17 at some point this year. It seems to be sound and in good health and pretty good natured is what it sounds like. They haven't done a ton with him, but they've been able to ride him around the property, different people riding him. I think Stacy had like a dressage lesson on him. But there's a couple interesting things that I'm very curious about. One of them is absolutely not standing still after mounting from the wall or mounting block. Like, stand still at the block, stand still when you get your foot in the stirrup, but as soon as you put your butt in the saddle, he's doing things. Now, he's not naughty, but he's doing what he thinks he should do is what it sounds like. Additionally, going to the left into canter, I hear that he spins around and tries to bite. So that'll be interesting. So I'm curious. I will report back. That's it.
Sounds like fun.
Mm-hmm. What are you doing this week? You've got lots of spring projects. We have to figure out dates for July, huh? And decide.
What is the weekend?
I don't know. I thought it was the weekend of the 23rd.
It might be the weekend before that. I don't remember.
I don't remember either. No, I thought it was the weekend of the 24, 25, 26, but anyway, we will have to decide. Cause Buck's gonna be around here, and then I have Timothy Lake, and then I have the community barbecue in August, and so July. We gotta figure it out. So you guys can all come down and hang out. Sounds good. I need to convince my friends from here to fly out. Wouldn't that be fun, you guys? And we can all hang out together. Be awesome. I need to put a list of where to stay.
I got one.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Any assignments for filming this week?
Not off the top of my head. I listed one earlier.
Okay. What was it? He doesn't remember either. No, that's good.
I'm not sure how to describe it. The hooking on and flowing, changing direction with a horse that's not as naturally forward, more bowling ball type.
Yeah, I mean,
this horse, you mentioned the marshmallow, although the marshmallow has got a little bit more of a understanding than Eva's horse had. You know, like,
yeah,
or still had a lot of pushback, not just I'm not real flowy going forward. He was like, I'm not going forward.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
There was a little, little bit more of a hill to climb to just freely flowing forward and hooking on and changing direction. But, you know, so
get given her to do the Gary's Corner.
Yeah.
On the rope. And see what happens to where it's good. Because the marshmallow at the end of the bag video was like a C, a solid C. That's where we quit for the day because it started as like an F plus or a D minus minus, like not running over the top of me, not pulling out away from me, but pretty bad. So we improved quite a bit. But see if she can get like a B plus. Leading up, and the Gary's Corner. See what happens if you can get that rolling.
Sounds good.
Is that it? Okay. That's next week will be May. I know it. Right? Is that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. I would echo your sentiment 100%. Okay. Well, have an awesome week. Thanks, everybody, for being with us this week. We will see you next Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Standard Time.
8:30 Central.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.